Morning. Hope everyone's well. So you may recall that in terms of the Mishnah here on Daf Kuf Gimel, which allows Chituch Yabeles to cut off this wart on the animal in the Beis HaMikdash on Shabbos, and how to reconcile that with the Mishnah in Psachim that prohibits it, we had the first teretz was that both Mishnayos here and there are referring to Lacha, which would mean that it's subject to Melechus Gozes, this wart is still part of his body, it hasn't scabbed yet. However, our Mishnah is talking about a case B'yad, where he pulls off the abeles in an unusual way, kelachar yad, and the Mishnah in Psachim is addressing a case where he does it with a kli. And since he does it with a kli, that is a full-fledged melechas gozes, and both conditions for the melacha are checked off. We have both lacha and bekli. And we're up to Masiv Rav Yosef. So this is about halfway down in the wide lines. And the line begins with the words, Michutz L'tchum. So see if you can find that. Masiv Rav Yosef. According to the first Tartzon in the Gemara, that the Mishnah in Psachim is talking about an Issa Doraisa, because we have a Yabelis that's both Lacha and Bekli. Which means that the Chiddush of the Mishnah in Psachim is Rabbi Eliezer. And Rabbi Eliezer holds Machshirei Mitzvah Dochem Es HaShabbos. And therefore, for the sake of bringing this Karban, you're permitted to violate a full-fledged Melechus Gozev with both conditions checked off. It's Lacha and it's Bekli. How are you going to fit this in with the subsequent part of the Mishnah in Psachim, meaning the Sefer, the Mishnah in Psachim, which offers an analysis of Rabbi Eliezer's argument against the Chachamim? Amar Rabbi Eliezer, Kal Vachomer. If Shechita, which is clearly a full-fledged Meleches Shabbos, it's Netilas Neshamet Shechita, it's mentioned actually as HaShochet in the Mishnah in Klal Gadol, and that overrides the Shabbos for the sake of the Karban, Uma Shechita Shehi Mishum Melacha, meaning it's an Issa Doraisa, is Doches HaShabbos for the purpose of the Karban. In that case, if you recall, the 14th of Nisan, the time for Shechitas HaPesach, fell on Shabbos. Everybody agrees that we will Shech the Karban Pesach on Shabbos. And the Gemara in Psachim derives this from Psukim. Is Elu, these three cases of bringing the seh, either by carrying it on your shoulders, or bringing it chutz l'tchum, or being machshir the seh by removing, cutting off the abelis, which is a mum, elu she'ein bo el mishum shvus, is eino din she'yidchu es ha-shabbos? If a melachah d'horais of shechita is doche ha-shabbos, for the sake of the Karban Pesach, then how much more so these various cases, which are only shvus? Certainly we can override a shvus on Shabbos, but we see clearly from the Mishnah that the Chituch Yabeles, which is listed here as one of the three cases, is described and categorized by Rabbi Eliezer as a shvus. How can you therefore tell me that we're talking about a case where he cuts off the abeles, which is lacha bekli? That's clearly a violation of an Issa d'Oraisa, and that would undermine the entire Kal V'Chomer. The premise of the Kal V'Chomer is that when we're dealing with chatichas yabeles, like the cases of harkava and chutzut chum, we're dealing with the shvus derabanan. And this becomes a question without an answer that, according to Rav Yosef, completely undermines this first answer that both the Mishnah in Erevin and the Mishnah in Pesachim are talking about lacha. Because if you're going to tell me that they're talking about lacha in both Mishnayos, then the only difference between our Mishnah here in Erevin and the Mishnah in Pesachim is that in Pesachim we're talking about Bekli. Well, if it's Bekli, then clearly you're violating a full-fledged Malacha Doraisa of Gozes. How could Rabbi Eliezer describe it as a Shvus? Ella Amar Rav Yosef. Therefore, Rav Yosef is compelled to offer another suggestion, an alternative reconciliation of the Mishnah here in Erevin with the Mishnah there in Pesachim. Hava ha biyad. In both cases, even in the Mishnah in Pesachim that prohibits chituch yabelas b'Shabbos, is talking about a case of kelachar yad. He doesn't use a kli. In our Mishnah here in Erevin, we understand very well why chituch yabelas b'Mikdash is mutter, because we have the principle called ein shvus b'Mikdash. And if you're talking about kelachar yad, because he rips it off with his hand, then for sure it's mutter in Mikdash. Then you have to address the question, what about the Mishnah in Pesachim? Why does the Mishnah in Pesachim prohibit chituch yabeles b'Shabbos b'yad? And if it's b'yad, it's only drabanan. Why don't we activate the principle of ein shvus b'Mikdash? And the answer is, says Rav Yosef, and this is really a breakthrough principle, that shvus b'Mikdash b'Mikdash itiru. When we say ein shvus b'migdash, says Rav Yosef, that only applies within the locale, within the dalet amos of the migdash itself. But shvus de migdash b'medina lo hitiru. Now the word migdash means here for the tzorech of the migdash, so that he wants to bring the korban pesach. He's carrying the seh either from Rosh Hashanah into the Azorah, which is Rosh Hashanah Yochid, or he's carrying the Sef Chutz L'Tchum. All of these are Drabonans. Chituch Yabeles, likewise, is Drabonan, because we're talking about a case of Biyad. But here, in the case of the Mishnah Pesachim, in contradistinction to our Mishnah in Erevin, where is he doing this Chituch of Yabeles? Not inside the Azara, but rather he's doing it for Litzorech Azara, but he's outside in the Medina. When he violates a Shvus in Medina, even though he's doing it for the sake of the Mikdash, it's Asur like any Shvus in Medina. So to violate a Shvus outside the location, as we said, the Mechitzos of the Mikdash, for example, by cutting off the Abeles with his hand, and that's the abeles of the seh that was already designated as a korban pesach. But where is the seh? It's in Beis Bailim. It's in the house of the owner of the seh, where he watches it until it's time for the akrova, and he has to do what's called bikur. Bikur means he has to check out the animal and carefully investigated to make sure that there's no mum, and guess what? He discovers that it has yabeles, which passels it. Now it happens to be Shabbos. He's about to take this seh and bring it to the Beis HaMikdash as a korban pesach, but oh no! He discovers, to his dismay, that he has a wart which disqualifies this korban, and now he wants to rip off the wart manually in such a way that he violates only a Shvus d'Rabbanan, but it's all for the purpose of the Akrava of the Korban Pesach in Mikdash. Says Rav Yosef, since the location is b'Medina, therefore we have to prohibit it, and the same Shvusim that apply in Medina, even if it wasn't for the purpose of Mikdash, are going to apply even in the case where it was for the purpose of the Beis HaMikdash. And according to Rav Yosef, Rav Eliezer, who is the dissenting opinion recorded in the Mishnah in Pesachim, who allows the Chituch Yabeles, he's talking about a case of Ein Shvus B'Migdash, even B'Medina. So that if you have a Yabeles Lacha, but you're ripping it off manually, and therefore you are only violating a Shvus, you're allowed to be in violation of a Shvus for the purpose of a Karbon. You're in Medina, you discover this Yabeles in the house, your house, you're the Balabayas. Nevertheless, for the sake of the Karbon, we will suspend the Shvus, even in Medina. That's the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer. Now, I just want to add a note here in the name of the Shoel Umeshiv, who was the Rav in Lublin. Anyway, the Shoel Umeshiv writes that we have an interesting source or support for a Kesef Mishnah from this statement here in our Gemara of Rav Yosef. The Kesef Mishnah in Hilchas Beis HaBechira writes that Ein Shvus B'Migdash is based on a principle called Kohanim Zrizimhen. And therefore, we understand Rav Yosef's distinction between violating a Shvus inside the confines, the holy Mechitzos of the Beis HaMikdash. There, the Kohanim are in charge. They will guarantee that the Karbon is prepared properly and is kosher for the Mizbeach. They will make sure that no violation of Alecha Shabbos would be implemented. But in Medina, that's already considered outside the realm of the Kohanim, and the principle of Kohanim's Rizimim cannot apply. To our surprise, then, the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer is a radical departure, and he holds Ein Shvus Litzorech Migdash has nothing to do with the fact that Kohanim's Rizimim, but perhaps he would say that there's a din of Dechia, that the power of Korban Pesach and its mitzvah, its chovah, is such that it overrides the Shabbos and anything that's necessary, according to Rabbi Eliezer, in order to be machshir this korban, this seh, as a Korban Pesach, overrides the Shabbos. And if you can override the Shabbos with shchita, which is a malacha d'oraisa, how much more so for a case of a shvus d'rabbanon? And therefore, Ein Shvus B'Migdash Afil B'Medina. Now the Gemara is going to raise two objections to Rabbi Yosef's breakthrough, who says that Ein Shvus B'Migdash only applies within the Migdash and not outside of the Migdash. Yosef Abaye V'Karmeli LaShmaita. Abaye was transmitting this presentation of Rabbi Yosef. Eisvei Rav Safra L'Abaye. Rav Safra raised the following objection to Abaye based on a Mishnah that we learned earlier. Now, you may recall the case where he was standing on a gag, or he's standing on the threshold of his house and he's holding on to a sefer, and it's a rolled up sefer like our Sfarim, like our Sifrei Torah. And he's reading it on Shabbos, and all of a sudden it fell. And it reaches close to the Rishus HaRabin. Now he's located in Rishus HaYochid. And you and I might think that if he rolls the Sefer up from Rishus HaRabin, where it fell on the ground, to where he is in Rishus HaYochid, he would violate Maleches Hotzah. And we cannot allow a violation of a biblical malacha, even for the sake of Kedushas and Kavodas Sefer. But the answer is, this is called Ogdo Biyodo, if you recall. I'm just refreshing our memories, right? He's holding on to one end of the Sefer, and therefore there's no violation of a malacha d'oraisa. So the Mishnah says, quote, Hayakore b'sefer al haiskupa, So he's on Shabbos and he's reading the Sefer while he's standing on the threshold of the house. V'nis galgel ha-Sefer miyodo. And the Sefer rolls into Rishus HaRabim. One side of the Sefer is being held by his hands. The other side is in Rishus HaRabim. Gololo etzlo. For the sake of Kovod HaSefer and to avoid Bizayon HaSefer, so that the Sefer should not be laying there exposed in Rishus HaRabim, we're going to permit him to roll the Sefer all the way up to where he's standing in Rishus HaYochid. And this is not a violation of a malacha of Hotzah, as we said before, because it's Odo Biodo, he's holding on to part of the Sefer, to the end of the Sefer. Now, what about Gzeira Durabanan? Why aren't we afraid that what happens if he drops the half of the Sefer, you know, where he's holding on to it, and the Sefer will fall into Rishus HaRabim in its entirety, and he might be tempted, without thinking, to pick up the Sefer, because it's a bizayon to the Sefer that's lying in Rishus HaRabim, and bring it back to him and violate a Doraisa? And the answer is because Ein Shvus B'Migdash. Now, again, when we say Ein Shvus B'Migdash, in the Gemara's analogy, Rav Safra's question, it's a very broad kind of analogy. The distance here is, you know, is remarkable. I mean, you're not talking about a karbon that's Docha Shabbos. You're talking about Kedushas HaSefer and Kovod HaSefer as opposed to Bizayon HaSefer. But Rav Safra nevertheless sees that as a case of Migdash, meaning you're doing it for the sake of Kedusha, whether it's Migdash in the sense of Kedushas Karbon or it's a Sefer Torah that has Kedushas HaSefer. In both cases, that's called Migdash. In Rav Safra's frame of reference, he has a generic, all-inclusive concept called Migdash. And he asks the following question, V'ahacha, here in the case of Kedushas Sefer Torah, D'shvus de Migdash b'medinahu, V'lo gazrina dilo nafil v'yasi lisuyeh. We're going to suspend the normal shvus that would apply here, that maybe the Sefer will roll in its entirety into Rishus HaRabim and he might be tempted to bring it back into Rishus HaYochid and violate a Malacha Doraisa. We're going to suspend that gzera for the sake of Migdash. Migdash here means Kedushas Sefer. But where is it happening? Let's go with the Sholem Eishiv's approach. There are no Kohanim around. I mean, he might be a Kohen, but... So the question is, why are you applying, Rav Yosef, the principle of Yeshvus B'Migdash if it's B'Medina? Here we see from the Mishnah above that Ein Shvus B'Migdash applies even B'Medina. And we don't have the supervision of the Kohen. Now, I just want to read to you the Meiri's language here. It's very... revealing, I think we more or less said this on our own. He writes, Kishem Shei Tiru Ktsas Minei Shvusim B'Migdash Kach L'chol Dovrashe B'Kedusha Yatiru. So just like in Migdash there are certain heterim because Ein Shvus B'Migdash, so too any Dovrashe B'Kedusha has an equivalent status to Migdash. V'korei B'Sefer Aliskupa V'Nis Galgil Miyadu Shomru Golo Etzlo Karo Kedushas HaSfarim L'Shvus B'Migdash. That's the language of the Meir. Now, I've mentioned time and time again that one of the greatest and most useful Sfarim in the Achronim period on Erevin is the Shvus Yaakov, the Gaon Yaakov. So let me quote to you a question of the Gaon Yaakov. He says, I don't understand. This Gemara, this Kasha of Rav Safra, lends itself to a very easy teretz. And we don't need Abai's teretz that we'll see in a minute. B'korei Sefer V'Shabbos Nisgal G'Biyodo Mutter, the reason why in the case where he's rolling it back up it's Mutter, is Mipnei Shalo Yochal Hoyal Etakin Zos Me'erev Shabbos. it fell on Shabbos, like the case comparable to the case of the string of the harp that ripped on Shabbos. It was the Efshar Lisakno B'Erev Shabbos. Masha Ein Kein B'Yabeles. Rav Yosef was addressing the case of Yabeles, and that was a case of Efshar Lisakno B'Erev Shabbos. I mean, the Yabeles did not all of a sudden grow on Shabbos itself, so he could have fixed it up on Erev Shabbos. So when do we say that Ein Shvus B'Migdash is going to be suspended B'Medina? That's in a case of Efshar B'Bod Yom. We have no, and as we're not in an absolute my back is against the wall situation here, because my back is not against the wall. You could have easily avoided the violation of the Shvus of ripping off the Abeles manually by doing it on Erev Shabbos. And therefore we're going to be more machmir. So you have two factors against you. Number one, you're outside the confines, the location of the Mikdash. You're in the Medina. And number two, it's Efshar Miba'od Yom before Shabbos. But in the case where it's the Efshar, you had no possibility of doing it, then maybe Rav Yosef would admit that we apply the principle of Ein Shvus B'Migdash, even B'Medina. The H. Lomar says the Gaon Yaakov, Kol mitzvah shemalacha gemura nitches machmas ha-mitzvah dochim gam machshira shi efshal asosa me'erev Shabbos u'mishum kach v'akrovas ha-pesach nidochim yisurei Shabbos l'tzorch machshirim shi efshal asosa me'erev Shabbos avol b'sefer halo ein malacha gemura doches ha-Shabbos v'mofen. The Gaon Yaakov creates a structure over here, sort of a, it's almost like a mechanical trade-off in which he's listing all the variables and counting them up on two sides, you know, the assets and the deficits on two sides of the page. And he's saying the following, that in the case of the Abeles, you have a major plus and you have a minus. The major plus is that a malacha d'oraisa, full-fledged malacha, like for example shechita, would be mutter for the sake of the Korban Pesach. The minus is that he could have removed this yabeles on Erev Shabbos. If we compare that to the case of the Sefer, we have a minus and a plus. The minus is that we would not allow in any shape or form to violate a full-fledged Malacha d'Oraisa for the sake of the glory and the honor of the Sefer Torah. That far we don't have. Only in Karban do we have, for the sake of the Korban Pesach, a halacha that the Malacha d'Oraisa would be overridden by the mitzvah of Korban Pesach. So although Korban Pesach has a drawback, and that deficit is the fact that he could have taken off the Abeles on Erev Pesach, but nevertheless it has a great surplus, and that plus is the fact that the Malacha d'Oraisa would be overridden by the Shabbos. And that's equivalent, in the analogy of Rav Safra, to the case of Sefer Torah, which has a minus and a plus. The minus is that we would no way violate, under any circumstances, a Malacha d'Oraisa v'Hotzah for the sake of Kavod HaSefer. There was never such a Koach Dechiyah. But on the other hand, it's the Efshar B'Erev Shabbos, because the Sefer fell from his hands on Shabbos. And in Rav Safra's frame of reference, we can equate the two. Everything squares off. And therefore we have the Kash on Rav Yosef from the fact that we were Matir B'Medina Gilgul Sefer Torah, and that's called Ein Shvus B'Migdash. We have ample reason for a Shvus and Xer to be nervous, to be worried that he might drop the Sefer and then carry it into Rishus HaRab, violate the Raisa. And nevertheless we're going to suspend that all because it's Litzorech Migdash, so to speak, meaning the Kedushas HaSefer. And we're going to do so even in Medina. Says Rav Safra, in the parallel case of a Yabeles, we should allow removing the Yabeles with a Yad, meaning reduce it to a shvus derabbanon, even bimedina, for the sake of preparing this seh for the carbon pesach. And now we get to Abai's answer. Abai deflects this question of Rav Saf, v'lo kimna, and he shoots back with what we would call a rhetorical question. He says, v'lo kimna biskupa karmelis. Didn't we finally conclude in the sugya back on Daf Tzariches that he was standing in an iskupa? He was not standing in Rishus HaYochid, and the iskupa had the status of a karmelis. It had a height of more than 3 tefachim, etc. And it was a Rishus HaRab Moveres Lefana. Now, in this case, we have two, what we call Tarti L'Tevusa, we have two reasons why we could be lenient here. Number one, Kevin Agudo Biyado, he is holding on to half of this Sefer, such that even had he been standing in Rishus HaYochid, and he would carry it by rolling it from the Rishus HaRab where it's Munach, he would not violate a Melacha Doraisa of Hotzah, because it's Ogdo Ugdo Biyado. And on top to boot, he would in no way, no how, violate a Doraisa, even if it wasn't Ogdo Biyado, because it's a Karmelis. He's standing in a Karmelis, he's carrying from Rishus HaRab where the Sefer is Munach, to where he's standing in the Karmelis in the Eskupa. The Afilu Shvus Nami Leka. In this case, even if in the worst case scenario the entire Sefer would fall and be Munach Rishus HaRabim, so what are we afraid of? He may carry the Sefer from Rishus HaRab where it's landed and bring it back to the Eskupa. Well, that's only tilted from Rishus HaRabim to a Karmelis, which is not also Doraisa. Now add to boot that it's Igudo Biyado, and therefore it's not even a shvus. Now again, when we say it's not a shvus, you got to be a little careful here, because they were only matir for the sake of the Kedusha Sefer Torah to avoid Bizayin HaSefer. But nevertheless, it is a situation in which we have two reasons to reduce it from a Doraisa to a Drabbanon, and therefore they were matir Lutzorech Kedushas HaSefer, to bring the Sefer, roll it back to where he is. But that's because you have a double shvus. It's a Karmelis, plus it's Ugdo Biyado. But if you have a case like the Abelis case, where it's Lacha, and he's removing it Biyad, which means that there's only one shvus, says Rav Yosef, rightfully so, that's only Mutter in the Migdash itself, within the confines of the Migdash, but not Bimedina outside the Migdash. Now we get to the second objection to Rav Yosef, and this is also Rav Safra in his response to the presentation of Abaye in the name of Rav Yosef. We have a Mishnah in Masecht Shabbos on Daf Yutes Amid Beis. Mishalshalin es haPesach litanur. I'll fill in the missing words here. Litzloso be erev Shabbos im chashecha. So the hakrova was on a Friday, and he roasted the korban pesach on a spit, and that's betanur litzloso. And the rotary continues during Shabbos itself. So it's on Friday, that's the time for bringing the Korban Pesach. But although he sets up the tzlia, the roasting, on Friday, the actual roasting is going to take place on Shabbos. Now, in a parallel case of what we call chulin, had it not been a Korban, meaning the Korban Pesach, you would not be allowed to put something into the oven on Erev Shabbos when it gets roasted after dark on Shabbos. And that, if you recall, is the fundamental principle of Perikira, and that is Shema Chayshin and Shema Yechate B'Gecholet. So we would not normally allow in a case of chulin, to place the chulin on an open fire and roast it over coals, even if he sets that up on Erev Shabbos and the roasting is going to take place on Shabbos, gzeir shem yichata b'cholim, but in the exact same scenario of the Korban Pesach, we're going to allow it. Now, wait a second. Where do you roast the Korban Pesach? Not in the Azara. For the sake of the Korban Pesach and its mitzvah achila, we're going to allow tzliya that's going to take place on Shabbos, and we're not afraid of Shem Yechata. We're going to suspend the Shavuos, and we're doing so b'medina, outside the confines of the Beis HaMikdash. This is a pretty clear, explicit contradiction to Rav Yosef, who says that Ein Shavuos b'Mikdash only applies within the confines of the Mikdash. Ishtik. And Abai at this point was dumbfounded. He couldn't find an answer to defend his Rebbe Rav Yosef. So Kiyosel Akami Rav Yosef, Amal Le, Hachi Amal Li Rav Safra. This was the kasha that Rav Safra raised against your presentation, and I didn't have an answer. Amal Le, so Rav Yosef responds, My time alo tishani le, why didn't you give him a simple answer? That the din of Tzliyas Korban Pesach is different than any other Shavuos. And the reason is, because B'nei Chabura is Rizume. Even though you're right, that Kohanim's Rizume doesn't apply outside the Mikdash in Medina, and that was my presentation, says Rav Yosef, but nevertheless, we have another substitute for Kohanim's Rizume in the case of the Tzliyas Korban Pesach. Because every Korban Pesach requires a Chabura, and this Chabura was gathered together for the express purpose and goal of being Mekayim the Mitzvah Korban Pesach. And therefore there's reason. They're dealing with Kodshim, and they realize that they have to make sure that the Korban Pesach is roasted properly so that they can be Mekayim a Mitzvah of Korban Pesach. Again, we're dealing with a Mitzvah on the highest level. It's one of the rare cases of a Chiyuv Kares. And therefore, although in general we're not going to be matir shvusim, even for the sake of Mikdash, outside in the Medina, because we're not going to assume that everyone carte blanche is reason, but here in the case of Korban Pesach, when we have Aloch of Chabura, and they're being Osek in Kodshim, then a Chabura Osekes b'Kodshim as reason. They are very sharp, intelligent people. They know exactly what their bounds are. They're going to supervise very carefully to make sure that nothing is done shelo kedin, because now again, Rabose here, I'm just thinking out loud, we would probably have to get into the aloch of Maaseh Shabbos, meaning if chas v'sholom one of the bnei achabura would inadvertently be mechate b'cholim, if he sees that the coals are sort of dying down, and maybe he's afraid that maybe the roasting process will not be successful, and therefore I don't know whether that would passel the karmon. I mean, that again, you'd have to learn Masechta Pesachim for that. But in any event, it's certainly not a good thing if there's a Maaseh Shabbos and a violation of Lecha Shabbos of Chitui B'Gecholim on a Korban Pesach. But as a general rule, we're not going to be Matir or Shavuos, even for the sake of Mikdash, in Medina. So Abai's not happy. He says, I never gave that teretz. I was silent for a very good reason. Konim's reason, Heim Amrina. B'nei Chabura's reason, Heim Lo Amrina. While I grant you that the B'nei Chabura have joined together as a unit in order to prepare and be makriv the Korban Pesach, but nevertheless, they don't have the status of Konim. And therefore, we cannot be matir tzliyas ha-pesach unless we apply the principle of ein shvus b'migdash and apply it even to the b'nei chabura. But to say b'nei chabura's reason heim, that we're not going to say. Now we go back again to the contradiction between our Mishnah in Erevin and the Mishnah in Pesachim regarding Chatichas Yabeles of a Korban Pesach. And Rav is going to answer with his own unique reconciliation. This actually is number four on our list. Rava Omar, both Mishnais are talking about a Yabelis Lacha. And both Mishnais are talking about Chaticha Biyah. And if you ask me why our Mishnah here in Erevin is Matir, taking your hand and ripping off the Abelis, which is Lacha, that's because our Mishnah reflects the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer. And we saw that Rabbi Eliezer dissents in Pesachim and says that you're allowed to be Chotech Yabelis. And Rabbi Eliezer is not mentioned explicitly in our Mishnah, but by implication, we can derive that the conclusion that our Mishnah is authored and reflects the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer. Why? Because Rabbi Eliezer is the one who holds in many places in Shas, and we've seen it already in Masechta Shabbos, that Machshirei Mitzvah Dochim Es HaShabbos, right? Rabbi Eliezer is the one who allows the Moel, in a case where there's no Ismail, to carry the Ismail from one Rishus to the other for the sake of a meal that's Dochim Shabbos on the eighth day. So therefore, our Mishnah is absolutely consistent or logical because Machshirei Mitzvah Dochim Es HaShabbos. So therefore, there's no difference between Shechita of the Korban Pesach on Shabbos and Chatichas Yabelis. Even though Chatichas Yabelis is only Machshirei Mitzvah, but our Mishnah is Rabbi Eliezer and Machshirei Mitzvah Dochim Es HaShabbos. Now, there's something very strange over here, because if you recall the previous Mishnah with regard to the Kinar, that Mishnah said that you weren't allowed to tie that cord on Shabbos. Right? You were only allowed to tie a bow, which is aniva, and it's not Meleches Kshira. Now, if you assume the Mishnah was authored by Rabbi Eliezer, who holds Machshirei Mitzvah Dochim Es HaShabbos, then in the case of the cord that ripped, and he wants to fix it with a kesher, he should have been allowed to do so. The Mishnah doesn't allow you to do so. Okay, so it could be that the Gemara doesn't ask this question, because you could always say Reisha, Kichachomim and Sefer Kirabi Eliezer. But now the Gemara raises a different question. If our Mishnah here in Erevin is Rabbi Eliezer, then he would allow you to take a knife and cut the Abelas. Because if Machshirei Mitzvah are Dochim Es HaShabbos, there's no difference between Machshirei Mitzvah and the Shechita and the Mitzvah itself. Why does he insist on doing it by hand? So now the Gemara has a breakthrough. And that is that Moda Rabbi Eliezer, that even though Rabbi Eliezer expands the din of Dechia of Shabbos to include even Machshirin, but nevertheless he requires a Shinui. And for that we'd have to go back to the Sugya in Masechta Shabbos of Rabbi Eliezer de Mila and see whether or not this Gemara here bears out what we concluded there. I think it does, if I remember correctly, that Rabbi Eliezer requires a Shinui. And that's called the Kaba the Efshel Shnuye Mishanina. That if there's a way of doing the Malacha and reducing it from a Doraisa to a Durabana by making a Shinui, that's what Rabbi Eliezer would require, and he advocates that we do it b'shinui. And in the case of Chatichas Yabelas, which is only Machshirei Mitzvah, even though if there was no other option, he would cut it off with a knife, but if there is an option that he can cut it off with his hands manually, then that's exactly what Rabbi Eliezer would require doing. Hence, our Mishnah in Erevin, reflecting the Shita Rabbi Eliezer, allows you to cut the abeles lacha with your hand, because machshirei mitzvah docher es haShabbos. Now we're going to look on Kuf Gimel Amud Beis Mayhi. Where do we find that Rabbi Eliezer holds that if you can do it with a shinui and limit your malacha d'oraisa by reducing it, then you're required to do so? We know that Rabbi Eliezer holds that malacha d'oraisa, even a malacha d'oraisa, is nidches for the sake of makshiri mitzvah. Who says that Rabbi Eliezer would require, if possible, that you do a shinui and lower it? And I think the Gemara now is vacillating on what we call hutra or dechuya. Tesanya, we're going to prove it from the following braisa. Now, until now, we've been talking about a yabeles on the animal's back and preparing the seh and kashering it for korban pesach by removing the mum. Now, we're going to talk about avodas hakohen, and the kohen has a mum. He has the yabeles on his body. And the braisa says that kohen shalsi lo yabeles, chavero chotcho lo b'shinov. So we have a double shinui over here. Number one, we're going to require the shinui of b'shinov. Now, that's a double shinui, because the first shinui, so to speak, first level shinui would have been b'yad. We're not even going to advocate that he rip off the yabeles b'yad. We're going to say he has to bite it off. And secondly, he's not allowed to do it himself, the Kohen. He has to ask his friend to do it for him. Now, again, you might ask me, where is this wart? If it's on his back, then obviously he can't bite it off. He'd have to ask his chaver. But more likely, if the Bryce is formulating a requirement of chaverov, that's a halachic requirement. It's not a mitzius that he himself, the Kohen, cannot possibly bite off his own wart. He can have someone else. He has to have someone else bite. Even though he could, if it's becreso, if it's on his belly, he could bite it off himself. Or if it's on his hand. But nevertheless, we require the maximum shinui, which is number one, biting it off. You're not even going to allow him to rip it off with his hand, manual. And number two, it's got to be chavero. So the Gemara is now medayek, and we want to figure out logically who is the author of this braisa. Beshinov in bekli lo, chavero in iu lo. So we're going to set up the requirements. Number one, that it's got to be beshinov, don't rip it off with your hand, and number two, that it's got to be chavero, and not he himself. So now the Gemara is going to prove that this braisa must be reflective of Rabbi Eliezer in the sugya of machshirei mitzvah. But first, the Gemara is going to have to introduce an additional machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer and the Rabbanon with regard to meleches gozes. So just to give a little bit of an introduction, so that we're going to see an integration of a double debate between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim, we have a case of nail cutting on Shabbos, and also hair removing on Shabbos. So in the case of Ktsitas Tziparnayim, Rabbi Eliezer is going to say that if he finds any sort of way, any sort of method whatsoever of cutting his nails, even if he bites his nails, he violates meleches gozes. And again, that's a sugya unto itself, fascinating sugya, because we always speak about the tzuras meleches gozes with a kli. Here he's biting off his nails with his mouth. And yet Rabbi Eliezer holds that he violates meleches gozes d'oraisa. The Rabbanan, on the other hand, say that it's only an Isud Rabbanon, but on a Doraisa level, he'd be allowed to bite his nails on Shabbos. There's no violation of Aleches Gozes when he does it Bishina. Now, we're going to prove from the Braisa that even according to Rabbi Eliezer, who holds that Machshirei Mitzvah Dochem is a Shabbos, however, he's going to require a Shinui. It's not Hutra, as I called it, it's Dechuya. Again, that's my own language. Just at least, at the very least, it helps me mnemonically to remember the Sugya. So the Gemara asks Mani, who is the author of the Braisa that says that you're not allowed to cut off this Yabeles on the goof of the Kohen with a Kli, and not only that, he can't do it himself. He has to ask someone else to do it. Ilema Rabbanon. If you're going to say, well, it's the Rabbanon who hold the Machshirei Mitzvah on not Docha Shabbos, that's not going to help you. Why? Because b'migdash, meaning that here he needs to get rid of the yabelis on his body because that makes him into a balmum and he can't do the avodah this kohen, then they were only matir for his chaver to cut it off his shinov. That doesn't make any sense. Kevon di ami rabbanu bi'alma, the chachamim hold, again, this is a sugyan Shabbos tzadi dalit, with regard to gozes, and we're not talking about Lutzot Mitzvah, just Stam Gozes, like Kotzei Tziparnov that we spoke about, that if he does it with his hand or with his teeth, is Mishum Shvus. Okay, fine. So now we have a Shvus, and that's why the Braisa says that you're not allowed to do it be your dying. But wait a second. Hacha, here, in the case of Migdash, where we were Mater Shvus, is Mali Hu Mali Chavera. In other words, since, according to the Rabbanan Shita, in Shabbos Daf Tzadi Dalet, there's no violation to Rice of Gozes in the case of Shinayim, so therefore, when he rips something off from his body by biting it, he violates, in the worst case scenario, a shvus. Then in the case of the Kohen, who has to do the avoda, and he's right now, presently, a balmum, we have a principle called ein shvus b'migdash. You might say, well, it's only machshirei mitzvah. Okay, fine, it's machshirei mitzvah. But we're not dealing with the doraisa here. We've already reduced it, by virtue of the fact that he's ripping it off with his teeth, to a drabbanon, because the drabbanon hold that when you take off something from your body with your teeth, that's not a violation of Maleches Gozes Doraisa. So you now have reduced it to a Shvus Rabbanon, and now we can apply the principle of Ein Shvus B'Migdash. So why is it that the Bala Braisa here requires that his friend should bite off his Yabelis, meaning he himself, the Kohen, is not permitted to bite off his own Yabelis? So we cannot reconcile this braisa of Kohen Shalsalo Yabelis Chotchalo B'Shenov, Chavero Chotchalo B'Shenov, with the Rabbanon Shita. Therefore, by process of elimination, our fallback position is Rabbi Eliezer, Olav Rabbi Eliezer, the Omer Rabbi Alma, that he holds over there in Shabbos Daf Tzadi Dalet, that any case of Gozes, like for example, Kotzei Tziparnov, even if he does it be Yadayim or Beshinov, he's Chayav Achatos if he did it Beshogeg. And therefore, Rabbi Eliezer shifts the emphasis from the Tzuras HaPu'ula to the Chefta, meaning in this case to the body, the physical body that has to remove the Tziparnayim. And no matter which direction, which Tzuras HaGozes you use, you implement, at the end of the day you violate the malacha, because the malacha is the gziza, meaning the fact that the body itself is free of whatever he had to remove, let's say Tzipar Nayim. And therefore, this braisa insofar as we're dealing with a malach of gozeis da oraisa, is going to prohibit biting it with his teeth, and that's going to prove Rav Yosef's premise that Rabbi Eliezer, or Rav's premise, that Rabbi Eliezer is moda that even in Machshire Mitzvah, that is Doche Shabbos, but you need to do the Shinui. But what Shinui are you going to do? You're going to do it with Shinov? Rabbi Eliezer holds that still retains its status as a Leches Gozeis D'Oraisa. So you haven't succeeded in achieving your goal of reducing the violation from a D'Oraisa to the Rabbanah. And the only way to allow it, therefore, would be through Chavero. Now, in the case of Chavero, why is this a Malacha D'Rabbanan, a violation of an Issa D'Rabbanan? Again, we're going to look to Rabbi Eliezer in Shabbos, who holds that any form of Gziza is D'Oraisa, whether it's B'yad, whether it's B'kli, whether it's B'yad, B'shinov. So what does he gain if B'toras Machshirei Mitzvah Doch Mitzvah Shabbos you need a Shinui by having his friend bite off his Yabelis? So Rashi says, Eino Misakna Yofa. I was of the opinion, but so far I haven't found anyone to say it, to support me, that it's a Malach Sheni Tzricha L'Gufa, meaning he doesn't need it, and he doesn't gain anything by it. He's doing a favor for his friend, but the malach itself doesn't add anything to him. But anyway, Rashi says, Eino Misakna Yofa. So that even though Shinov is not enough of a Shinui, because Rabbi Eliezer is of the opinion that Gozeis B'Shinov is Chayav, but if we add the element of Chavero, who's biting off the Abeles, not he himself, then it reduces it down to a level of a Shinui, of Eino Misakno Yofa. And on a Doraisa level, Machshirei Mitzvah are Doche Shabbos, according to Rabbi Eliezer. On a Drabana level, we're going to require a Shinui. And by asking his friend to bite off the Abeles, that is the Shinui, and therefore it's Mutter. Hocha. So again, here in the case of the Kohen, who has the Abeles and he wants to do the Avodah Migdosh, so he tells his friend to bite off his Yabeles, and that's only an Issur Shvus, and therefore Rabbi Eliezer will be mat. So we see clearly, Afal Gav L'Machshirei Mitzvah Dochnas Shabbos, Kamen D'Efshel L'Shnuyei M'Shaninon, that Rabbi Eliezer requires, I'll call upon him a Shinui. It's not enough just to apply the principle of Machshirei Mitzvah Dochnas Shabbos, and by instructing his friend to bite off his Yabeles, he has reduced the violation of Gozeis to a Drabanan level, and this is going to be a Shinui. This is the source for Rava, who assumes that even Rabbi Eliezer's Matir Asiyas Malacha, if it's, even though it's only a Machshira Mitzvah, nevertheless he requires a Shinui. Again, keep in mind, Rabosa, I just, for my own sake, I'm repeating myself. In the worst case scenario, and he has no option of a Shinui, then Rabbi Eliezer would hold that we violate a Malach D'Oraisa, even if it's only Machshir and Mitzvah, for the sake of the Karban, the Avod. But here we have another option, and we must avail ourselves of the other option. So this is Hakafa Aleph, in which we made a glorious attempt to support Rava, and bring a source from a braisa that Rabbi Eliezer requires shinui in Machshirei Mitzvah. Lo, the Gemara says li olam. Rabbi Eliezer holds Machshirei Mitzvah Dochnas Hashabbos, even if it's a Malacha D'Oraisa, and even if it's Efshal Asos B'Shinui, we're going to call this Hutra. And the braisa itself that requires that his friend bite off the Yabeles, that's Rabbanan. Now, wait a second. The Rabbanan hold that Gozeis B'Shinov is only the Rabbanan. And if that be the case, Ein Shvus B'Migdash should kick in. But the answer is, that here we're talking about a case of machshirin. The Rabbanan disagree with Rabbi Eliezer. They're of the opinion that machshirin mitzvah einam dochim isur Shabbos, and therefore they can only allow being doche a drabbanon. Now you ask me, why did the Braisa require that somebody else bite into his and remove his yabelas? Why can't the Kohen himself remove the yabelas according to the Rabbanon? Because the Rabbanon al dachituch al yidei shinui, even if it's done by the Bala yabelas himself, bechvodo v'atzmo, is a shvutz. So why not allow the Kohen himself to bite off the Yabelis? And the Gemara answers, it's only a mitzius. It's not a din. The Braisa didn't expect, it really didn't intend to give us some sort of a conceptual legal definition that you need this shinui of chavero. He himself, the Kohen, can bite off his own Yabelis. But can he bite off his own Yabelis? That's a mitzius question. He also becreso hachinami. If his yabelis is on his belly, that's exactly what's going to happen here. He doesn't have to invite his friend. It's a little embarrassing, right? To bite off his yabelis, he'll do it himself. Hacha, but my eskina, but was the Braisa addressing a case of Kevin Shaol, Kigol Shaol Solo Neshicha, which is another word for yabelis, begabo, on his back. Uvatsile yadov, the iulo motzi shakilo. So we'll see about Atzila Yoda, but just let's get the simple case of Gabo. There's no way, no how that he could bite off something on his back. And therefore the Braisa says that the heter here is going to be done through Chavero. But again, as far as the conceptual halach is concerned, the heter would apply even Biatzmo. He doesn't need Chaver, but the only problem is in implementation he can't reach his Gab. So Mitzad Adin, he himself could have violated this Shvus Rabbanon and bitten off his Yabelis because Ein Shvus B'Mikdash. Now what's Atzile Yadav? So he writes here, Mifarkov, Marpokov, I'm sorry, so you're dealing with the joints. I'm not sure why he can't bite off the yabelis from his joints. Let me just see what he says over here. Just 1 second. Oh, here it is. Oh, he says his elbows. All right, not sure. I guess maybe it's on this side of the elbow, so it's it's too far from his mouth, and he can't do it himself. Now, the Gemara wants to prove once again that this Braisa must be Rabbi Eliezer, couldn't be the Rabbanon. The Irabbanon, if you're going to tell me that, as you insist, the author of this Braisa is the Rabbanon, and therefore they wouldn't allow you to take a kli and cut off the abelis, because that would be machshir and mitzvah, which are not doche Shabbos, even in the Migdash, in a violation of Leches Gozes. And again, the Kohen, the Braisa doesn't mention that the Kohen himself could cut the abelis. And we're talking about a case where physically the scenario is such that the Kohen has no possibility of reaching the Abelis, and therefore he introduces his friend. Is Nishkale Niale Biyat? Why can't his friend use his Yad? Why did we need, as we said before, the double entendre, the double shinui? It's not only biyado as opposed to a kli, but it's also bishinov. Why? I mean, if the friend can rip off the yabelas with his teeth, he can rip it off with his hand as well. So the Gemara now wants to analyze that from the fact that the Braisa only mentions the heter of Shinov, we're going to derive the following conclusion, that Machshiri Mitzvah can be Docha Shabbos only b'shvus, but not on an Issa Doraisa. And number two, the Rabbanon concede that he's not allowed to cut off the Abeles B'Kli, and that applies Bein B'Atzmo, Bein Chavero. And if that be the case, is Tifshot de Rabbi Elazar. Again, we have to be careful here. Now we're talking about an Amora, Rabbi Elazar. And Rabbi Elazar has a suffix. What's the suffix of Rabbi Elazar? Is the Amar Rabbi Elazar Machlokes, the Machlok Shin Rabbi Eliezer, the Tana, and the Rabbanan with regard to Netilas Tzitas Tziparnov, is that an Issa D'Oraisa or an Issa D'Rabbanan? Is Bekotzitzon if he cuts it off the Yad, I will Bekli Divrei HaKol Chayav. That Rabbi Elazar insists that with regard to Tzitas Tziparnayim, is everybody agrees that if you use the kli, then you're talking about Meleches Gozes. We said that cutting anything off of a living body, if he does it the normal way, like for example, Netila B'Kli, that's the way we do it every day of the week, that is a violation of Melech Doraisa of Gozes. Now the Braisa says that the heter of Chituf Yabeles is Dafka B'Shinov and Lo B'Yodo. And if you can assume that this braisa reflects the Shita Chachamim, then he says the Efshel Adagdek Lochiach Sheheim Modim Shechituch Bekli Osu Doraisa. We, or shall we say, Rabbi Lazar wanted to prove that the Rabbana would agree that if he uses a kli to cut something off from his body, that would be a violation of a Doraisa, of an Issa D'Oraisa, because he used the kli. But we can't prove it from the fact that here, in this case of the Braisa, the Rabbanan were not matir removing the Abeles B'Kli, because even if I assume that Chituch B'Yad is certainly a violation of an Issa D'Rabbanan, in other words, there's no way that you could be medagdeg from this prat, from this detail of the Braisa, that it is an Issa D'Oraisa. So therefore, we would rather assume, according to Rabbi Lazar, that this Braisa is reflective of the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer, rather than the Shita of the Rabbanon. And again, then we're going to assume that even though Machshirei Mitzvah Adokh Mitzvah Shabbos, but nevertheless you need a Shinu. He writes here that Machlokes Rabbi Eliezer Rabbanan Benotel Tziparnov V'uadin L'chotech Yebalto Ha'im Yisuro Midoraisa Midorabbanan Hiraki Shekotzitzon B'Yad Avalim Kotzitzon B'Kli Divrei HaKol Chayav Midoraisa Shachotech Menachai told us Gozesu Hi Vanatila B'Kli Hi Derech Ha'suya Ha'asiyah b'chol. Aval atosh is kira b'raisa rak es heter chituch hayabeles b'shinov v'lo b'yodo gam im hishnuya kedas rabbonon I efshar l'dagdeik ulochiach shem modim shachitu b'kli isu d'oraisa mimash lo yitiru lachtoch b'kli shari gam im hachituch b'yad Shevadai osu min rabbonim bilvad lo is kira v'al korchach ein ledagdeik mi hazkaras prat misuim v'braisa shu isa doraisa, that from the fact that the braisa omitted kli, it must be because that's doraisa. Because the braisa mentions only shenov, it doesn't mention yad. Elavada yesh lochiach mikach shelo eskira es heter chitoch hayabelos biyad v'nimna'ah, with an ayin nimna'ah b'kach milamdenu limudim elu she'ein dvarea kishitas rabbonon ela ki Rabbi Eliezer v'agam sheledaito nidchim gam yisurim doraisim de machshir mitzvah but kol she'ef shel asosa es ha-machshir b'yisud rabbonon is ein l'chal Shabbos b'malacha deorais. Okay then, so we'll stop here v'tifshot Dear Rabbi Elias, that's what we want to go over in Mitzvah Hashem tomorrow.